Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
I'm Suf Arif, and however you come here for me, that's good. I ain't mad at you. I know what you're here for, and you should be. the Real Talk for Real People show, which is about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Giving a personal, in-depth study, bird's eye view, critical analysis, and an assessment while leaving no stone and a leaf unturned. To get to what? To get to the bottom of the matter, to get to the core of the matter, to get to the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that's what we're here for. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for self-adulation. We're here for you. Why? Because we mourn for you. And we love you. And we believe that you hadn't been taught the truth about the Most High. You've been taught some skip to the loo, my darling version. When you enter this so-called new thing and going back to get some foundation on what you're in, but actually it's just plagiarism, this new thing that you're into. And we're going to point that out to you quite often. So if you're not ready for the truth and you can't handle the truth, you're not ready for the Real Talk for Real People show. And if you're wondering who are the we that I'm making reference to, Ima Adora, she's the elders of us here. We call her Mama. That's what Ima means, Mama. Mama has been studying the Most High quite a long time. She's been mourning. She's been loving. She's been crying out to the Most High in our regard. And she's not let up. As a matter of fact, she's trying to get together a universal crying out. September the 23rd this year, I believe. And if you need more information on it, go to yahwehgather.ustogether. I believe they have a number for her. I'm not going to give you a number because you got some nuts out there. I ain't talking about good ones either. You got some nuts out there. So if you want to get in contact with Ima, go to yahwehgather.ustogether. Yes, Ima has been crying out for this nation. She's been mourning for this nation. But she don't need to do this alone. She need us. She needs you. As they say in America, ask not what your nation can do for you, but ask what you can do for your nation. We need to be on financial solid ground, this nation, so we can do a whole lot more things. Ima is trying to help facilitate that also. So we can help our needy, our poor, our homeless, and so on and so forth. And stop sending them off to the Roman Catholics and so on and so forth. She's a woman of vision and a woman of passions. And we're happy to have her on the Real Talk for Real People show. Also, we have Sister Aviyah from New York City. Sister Aviyah has been studying the Most High, but not as long, going on 10 years. But from the moment she's been here, she's been instrumental in being financially supportive of the nation. I ain't talking about no tools and fuels either. But she wouldn't want me to tell that. But it need to be told. She put some money where her mouth is. And then she put some money where her heart is. Because she loves the Most High with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength. And her brothers and sisters as she loves herself. And she's been helpful in every regard too. But I'm not going to tell you her personal business. She's a humble woman. She don't want y'all off on the business like that. But I'm telling you because you need to know. She don't simply talk about it, she be about it, unlike some of you out there. Also, we have Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell has been studying Most High quite a while, 30-plus years and counting. You see, when Cartrell was a young man, 14 years old, he became an avid student of the Most High, by virtue of his relationship with the Most High. See, Cartrell, being 14 years old, like most 14-year-olds, thought he had all the sense in the world, like most of us. And he thought, I'm ready to cash in my check. I done seen everything. Ain't no love in the heart of the city. But the Most High said, I got some love for you. I got all you need, Cartrell, and then some more. I got all the love you need that you're going to be able to share with your brothers and sisters. You're going to be able to mourn for them and love on them too, okay? And educate them. Cartrell went to the Psalms. He got the love he needed. The love that folk won't take away from you just because they can. He got some real love. That's what we're trying to give you on the Real Talk for Real People. And Cartrell got the love and support that he needed from the Most High by virtue of those songs, as we all can when we're feeling down and out. There again, when Cartrell was a young fellow taking care of his family, a new family, Cartrell got into carpentry. Although he's a man of books and learning, he felt that was much more advantageous for him, carpentry. I suspect Cottrell thought it's going to be these two-story houses. Come to find out, Cottrell had put up that seven tower next to the twin tower that collapsed also, quite heights. And Cottrell, they again went to the Most High to get the strength and fortitude to overcome his fears and trepidations. He'll tell you, he would go to the Most High every morning before punching in the clock, I imagine, and praying to the Most High for the strength needed, his strength. And the Most High helped him through those songs, psalms, as we call them. And there again, Cottrell did 35 plus years providing for his family, tackling those heights through the help of the Most High. And every afternoon, before getting off, going to his family and clocking out, Cottrell would give praise and thanksgiving to the Most High, as we all can. We're not nothing special. Believe that. But the Most High is special. And you better believe it. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. So let me introduce them to you. Imah Dora. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Most High, for he is truly worthy to be praised 24/7 around the clock. Hallelujah. And I thank you for the wonderful intro. But you yourself are pretty special as well. You're my baby. So, okay.
I've been telling them stop picking on me. They'll get some.
Hallelujah. And I just want to correct that date, though. It's September the 16th of next year, not this year.
Thank you, Imah. I'm glad. See, that's what mamas do. They always correct their babies. I ain't got no problem with that. All right. Thank you, Imah. Praise and bless the Most High for you. Now, Sister Avia from New York City. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Good evening, family. Good to be back. All praises and glory to you. Yes, I'm glad she did correct you, but if she didn't, I was on the case too. But good to be back and ready to go. Love you all, and may God bless us all.
And that's what sisters for, to meddle with them.
I'm her daughter, too. I'm her daughter. So I can understand where she comes from. I'm another one of her babies.
Yeah. Don't mess with Yum Soup now. She growls like Yum Soup do, okay? Don't play with me.
Well, I'm not going to speak on nothing else. I'll leave it alone. Amos' mama taught me better than that. Not to argue.
Look here. Have you ever been in one of the elders' meetings?
Yes, I have
had to tell these elders that, look here, I know she love all y'all, but I'm a favorite, okay? And I'm telling I'm saying this before I bring Cottrell on. That's why I'm saying it, before I bring him on. Okay? Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. Yom Suf, I love you too.
All praise
to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of our father, Yaakov, whose name was changed to Israel. And I know you don't plant flowers in yourself, Yom Suf, but you like King David. You let us know you was a crash dummy.
Crash dummy.
You let us know that you were ex-con.
Yes.
Let us know that you ex-marine.
Yes.
But what we don't know is how you find your way to the Most High, how you became a volunteer for the Red Cross and started doing good works like all of us supposed to be doing. You ain't tell us that part, huh? How you found the Most High?
Well, in a nutshell, I guess around about in between 2008, my life was a total wreck. I knew something was amiss with the drinking and the drugging and everything else, the running around in the street, but I was never satisfied. I knew there was a creator, but I knew it wasn't a churchy thing. I knew it was something much meaningful and deeper than that. And so it was a transitional period. and my fiance passed away in 2011, and a continued transition, a continual evolving. And then I started speaking. I started seeing things. The Most High started pulling me in the direction of what he is and what he is about, and so on and so forth. And then I had an opportunity to meet Ima Hadora in Memphis around about 2013, 14, and the transition continues. I never did go back into the idolatry, the drinking and the drugging and so on and the Christ dominance. And just, it's a transition. And if the Most High can save me, he certainly can save anybody. People complain, Cartrell. I got some skeletons in my closet. Hell, they need to, don't look at mine because they'll see the whole cemetery, okay? So if the Most High can, if the Most High can take Yom Suf, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I continue doing the best I can with bringing the Most High word for folks so they don't have to go through the things I went through. They don't have to make the mistakes I made. I don't want them to go through the transition that I had to go through. I want them to go through theirs, but not as dire as mine was going. My life was a total mess. And praise and thanks to the Most High for this.
So let's connect the dots here. You telling me you was inspired by Ima Hadora around about the time 2013.
Yes.
That's around the same time you started this Real Talk with Real People show in which you influenced our sister Abia. All I have to do is say is wow. Yah does wonders with his servants. And thank you, Ima Hadora, because I don't even think you know the impact that you had on Crash Dummy, ex-con, ex-Marine.
You ain't got to go to that. He's just breaking everything down. Crash Dummy, Crash Dummy, ex-con. You ain't got to go
Chris, who put that out there, I got to give Ima another thank you. Thank you so much, Ima.
See, there you go. There you go, man. There you go, man, Abia. I told you.
Now, children, let's be safe.
All right, now, y'all heard about me.
Yeah. Out of all the people there, she was the one that impressed me the most. It was plenty of people there. Yeah, Ima's daughter one impressed me the most, and she didn't have much to say over there in the meeting place on the University of Memphis, but she had a lot to say when they got back over there to the restaurant and everything. And I was listening, I was soaking in what she was saying, and she impressed me out of all the people I met that day.
So let me connect the last dot. Mm-hmm. Me and Ima Hadora, love at first sight.
Right.
Love. Me and Ima Hadora clicked from the time I have met her.
Same way with me. Same way.
Okay. So she's on that lifting the nation thing. And that's what I've been on from the time I was 14 years old. We a nation. And our people just don't know it. And it's so hard to get that message to them. Imagine you're a 14-year-old trying to get that message to our people. We're one nation. We're not Negro. We're not Black. We're not colored. And me walking around with that knowledge, y'all said, yo, you got to do something with that, bro.
And you know how strange things is, Katya, Ima Adora, and Sister Abia? I really wasn't looking for no wife, per se. I was going down Raleigh Militant in Military, coming from a Red Cross call. And I started Red Cross. The transition was to Red Cross before I met Ima Adora. That was after Ima Adora, because started with the transition 2017. I started with the Red Cross, and I wasn't going to do about a couple of years, but they wanted me because I was able to relate to people out in the field would call back into the Red Cross, said, who is that fella out there, you need to get him more money. But they said, no, he's just a volunteer. White folk, Black folk, Chinese, Puerto Rican, I treat everybody the same, even different nations. I try to treat people with common courtesy. But going back to Ima and things like that and meeting a wife, I wasn't looking for a wife per se. I was coming down Red Cross, like I said, from a Red Cross call. And Yah said, look over. So I looked over. I seen this woman with a lot of hair on her head. Well, nice behind too, but don't tell nobody. And Yah said, turn around and go back over there. Because she was going to the gas station, going in per se. I said, I don't know that woman. That woman going to think I'm crazy. So Yah said, you need to do what I asked you to do. In so many words, he didn't ask, but you knew what he said. You need to go in the store. So I go in the store. So I asked, it was somebody before me, and I asked for an item. And I was waiting for the lady, which turned out to be my wife finally, to get through doing what she was back there messing with some ball, and I thought she was retarded. I said, yeah, you done brought me in here for a retarded woman. She in there messing with them ballers and clinking and whatnot. So she came forward. We had the mask on then. She had the mask on. I had my mask on. I said, nice little shapely little woman. She's about 5-something. I said, nice little fine little woman to myself, but she's still crazy back there, still kind of retarded. And so the man asked me, you ready to serve the check? I said, yeah. And I said, what I'm going to do now? I said, I don't approach people like that. I'm too old for this. He said, well, tell her you got her. She had a couple of items in her hand. I said, ma'am, I got you. Don't even worry about it. And so she said, thank you very much. You know, I thought she was retarded because she said it like she was on a little house of the prairie. Thank you very much, sir. I said, okay, thank you. Okay, no problem. And so she was walking out. I said, see what I'm saying, y'all? That's why I shouldn't have come up in here. And then she turned around. She said, thank you again. My name, April, which, you know, she got a new name with the Most High, Miss Sonia. So she said, I said, it's nice to meet you. I grabbed her hand and I pulled her forward, you know. And I said, look here, my name, I told her my name. And I said, and I got a telephone number too. She said, okay, give me your number. And okay, we took the number, changed number. She put my number, put her number in my phone, I believe. And I think somehow it flipped out. And then we walked outside. She turned to the left to go. I turned back to the right to leave. And she turned around. She took her mask off. I said, doggone, that woman cute. She retarded, but she cute. And I took my mask off. And we talked about 5 or 10 minutes, standing up there talking. And that's how it worked out. Like I said, I wasn't looking for the wife per se. But from the Most High, find a good thing. And sometimes we bump here, but here's the quick kicker about that. Here's the beauty of Yah. Here's the beauty of Yah. Out of the whole, her father was a Hebrew Israelite, a conscious Hebrew. So praise and bless the Most High. And I said that to say this. When Yah tell you something, you better listen. Just like with Katria at 14 years old, and Katria as a young man, and Imar Adora trying to get crying out, and Sister Aviyah, as far as her helping the nation, when Yah tell you something, you better heed his call. Praise and bless and magnify his holy name. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise the mighty God. Well, you know, when I met Moray, I met him through one of his associates. We went to North Carolina for, it was North Carolina or South Carolina, I can't remember, for the Unity Shabbat that they have every year. And we went there to solicit support for the march around the UN. And all the elders there, oh, they were so enthusiastic about it. They were just overwhelmed and supporting. And we'll be there. That's what we need to do. And, well, they went on and on and on. When we got back home and we called for the first meeting, the young man that was there, as a matter of fact, he was an elder that was there to represent Koshari, he said, he was on the phone before Moray. Well, he didn't know Moray was on the phone. So he was saying, well, I came back and was getting the same spiel from all the elders. Well, you know, we're not down for that, you know. And my elder said that he's just not going to be a part of that. And, you know, whatever my elder says, that's what I'm going to do, you know, because my elder said, he went on and on, and he didn't know that Moray was on the telephone until Moray said, I didn't say that.
You know, Cadre, you know, Cadre don't bite his tongue now when you tell a lie.
Man, Moray began to tell him that he, you know, he's been saying the same thing for years, that we need to do this thing, you see. And he was very supportive of it, opened his doors to us. We all bugged there at his establishment. Mm-hmm. And he treated us like we were royalty the whole week we were there. And
right.
I just fell in love with Moray from that day to this one. And we bump heads too, but you know
right.
what? I wouldn't trade him for all the tea in China.
He's a man of his word. He's a man of integrity. And that being, I wouldn't either, Imanto. He's a man of his word. He's a man of integrity. And he loves the Most High just like you. And Abiyah is the same way. Abiyah did this. She told me later she did this. I said, why you do that? You know, because she's got a good heart like that. You know. She told me recently about an incident about providing for the nation. I ain't talking about no chicken feed neither. And
no.
for you, right? And for you, and for crying out together in September of next year. And I think
yeah.
she provided some more in addition. But that's the kind of woman she is. She's just like Katrina. I mean, all of us are just like each other in so many ways. We have different ways, different approaches. Different coming to y'all, but in the founding that we come in so much alike for our integrity, for our truthfulness, people of their word, honesty, and love and compassion for one another. That's what's reflective of our relationships with one another, and it's reflective on this show, the relationship we have with one another. And Ima Adora, just for the sake of reference, if you happen to come my place, I have plenty of peanut butter for you, and don't go in my refrigerator, okay? I love you.
This is how Ema,
he's always telling us to pray for a better thinker. He still got to work on that.
He might know I've been playing. All right.
So, you know, it's before you start, as far as Sister Avia, I fell in love with her from the first time I heard her voice. It's just so.
That's so sweet. I love you too. So much.
Just so humble. Just so sweet. You hear in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
That's the way y'all want me to be. That's the way I'll be. I'm a humble as pie.
Hallelujah. Yes, you know, but one other thing, Young Sook. This is what Israel will understand. We are a nation. And to really make it understandable, we're like a puzzle. Everybody has a piece. And it's only until we all bring our pieces to the table that the puzzle can be completed. You know, even down to the smallest dot. If you bring all the pieces and that little dot is missing, guess what? The puzzle is not completed. It stands out like a sore thumb. So with that understanding, we'll come to also know that we don't have any reasons to be fighting against each other.
Amen.
Really good. We got every reason for us to come together and love one another, because it's in our unity and humility that's where our strength lies. You know, it's just like nobody will volunteer to have a Mack truck to run through their house every day.
Ooh.
You see. But you would love to open your window for a cool spring breeze, wouldn't you?
A summer breeze.
You're right, Moray. A summer breeze.
But Ema,
mm-hmm.
check this. They say history repeats itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The prophet Ezekiel is telling us, he's filling in the pieces and the parts where the prophet Moshe did. The Most High says, when I approached you when you were in Egypt, you were holding on to the idols of Egypt. And our ancient fathers held on to the idols of Egypt, even when the Most High delivered them in the wilderness. They built a golden calf, didn't they?
Yes.
And Yah's loving kindness and tender mercy was with them. So I say history repeats itself because the same thing is going on right now. Yah has awakened us as to who we are, and he's letting us know the transgressions of our fathers, more enlightening than what they had. But they had great enlightenment because they had Moshe right there with them. They had Aaron, his brother, right there with them, telling them about their ancient fathers. But our ancient fathers held on to the gods of Egypt. Right? And history repeats itself. So Yah is like saying, we're not going through that drama again that we went through with Dathan and Abiram and Korah, because all of y'all should be aware that this has happened before, and y'all should do better now. So I set up to say that when I met you, I know how our people are. Our people are not going to hear Yah. Our people are proud that they're awake and they can influence and impact people because we have been deprived of that. But our people don't know our history. And Yah saying to us as a nation, guess what? You shouldn't be proud of your history. You should be ashamed of your history. Right, Israel? We should be ashamed of our history. What our kings did, what our leaders did. They were chasing the nations, the other people. And they thought that would bring them success. And guess what? We're doing the same thing that they're doing, which is why history repeats itself. And history repeats itself because Yah will save the righteous. This time he's making the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And he said, in that day, you're going to know who is righteous and who is wicked. Israel, the message is clear. The message is loud. Yah, imagine this. The word we're reading today, right? In the time of the prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, they had the same information. Yah didn't skip a generation where his information wasn't out there. We're looking at the residual information they left behind after centuries, and Yah's message is still there. How come our ancient fathers didn't get it? We're trying to get it. We're trying to repair the breach, and we have to repair the breach. We can't walk the way of our ancient fathers just to completely ignore Yah and follow the other nations. That's not our path. And unfortunately, the nation of Israel, whether we in church, in the mosque, in Judaism, so-called conscious Israel, we still don't get the message.
But we finna give them the message, Katria, right now. Imador, thank you. Katria, thank you. Sister Abby, I thank you. And fellow students out there, thank you. And praise and bless the Most High. Let's get the message. Ezekiel chapter 25, it speaks of our cousins first and our brother last, and then the Philistines. And all these nations seeming had a peculiar effect upon us, a negative effect. And the Most High is going to take issue with anybody that's called Israel harm and a negative effect.
And these nations hated us.
Yep. Exactly.
They just hated us with a passion.
Tell it like it is, Katria. And this first nation, our cousin, they were instrumental in joining any ally against us. They think they are the ones that tried to cause the temple not to be rebuilt by picking, pestering, aggravating. And so the Most High says in regards to our cousin, Ammon, the word of Yah came to me. Who is me, Ezekiel, son of man? Set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to the Ammonites, hear the word of Yah Elohim. Thus said Yah Elohim. Because you said you were having a giddy time. Aha! Against my sanctuary when it was profaned. Against the land of Israel when it was desolate. Against the house of Yehuda when they went into captivity. Indeed, therefore, I will deliver you as a possession to the men of the east. And they shall set their encampments among you and make their dwelling among you. They shall eat your fruit. They shall drink your milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and Ammon a resting place for flocks. Then you should know that I am the Elohim. Thus said Yah Elohim, because you clap, you had fun. You clapped your hands, stamped your feet, and rejoiced in heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel. Indeed,
so Yahshua.
Uh-huh.
I mean, interrupt you, but
no problem.
If you're seeing your cousin getting beat down and everything taken away from him, what you supposed to do?
I'm going to come to my cousin's aid, bro. That's dead on that. But they didn't
this
give
us our cousin.
Right.
And what he doing while we're getting beat down, slapped down, knocked down? What he doing?
They partying. They having a good time.
What? Your cousin? Your cousin?
Yep.
Okay.
And he says, thank you, Godriel. Indeed, I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off, and you don't even hear nothing about a mumna in that country. It's called, right now, it's called Jordan. I will cut you off from the people, and I will cause you to perish from the countries. I will destroy you. You should know that I am the Elohim. And certainly that country, our cousin, we don't hear anything about them. Like the country, the land that they laid claim to was so-called Jordan. And the people from the east seems like they intermingled within them and undermined them. And they came with their camel. Yeah, go ahead, Cottrell.
What's the capital of Jordan?
Capital of Jordan? Amnon,
yes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Amman.
Okay. Amman, yeah. Certainly is. Seemed like Ishmael got it now.
Well, they call them Arabs. And
right.
Arab means a mixed people. So
right.
When you say Arab, you're talking about the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Israelites.
Exactly.
Because they're not nations anymore.
Exactly. Per se. And they are a mixture in the Most High. He said it. They're gonna mix in with you. They're going to disperse you by mixing in and interbreeding with you. And that's why the country is called Jordan. And the capital is, Cartrell said, our cousin's name, Ammon. So the Most High doesn't lie, does he? Now, here come our second cousin. We'll say lineage or cousin, Moab. But he don't seem to be as hard on Moab as it was on Ammon. Thus said Yah Elohim, because Moab and Seir said, look, the house of Judah is like all nations. They ain't no better than nobody else. Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities, because they know better, of the cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth-Shemoth, Bar-Meon, Kar-Japhim, to the men of the east. They are come to and mix among them. I will give it a possession, together with the Ammonites. The Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute the judgment on Moab, and they shall know that I am the Elohim. And certainly he did, took Moab. You don't hear about that country anymore, do you?
So,
yes.
The Most High turns his judgment, his anger, and his fury, and his wrath off of Yisrael, his people,
mm-hmm.
to the family of Israel now, right?
Exactly.
Because they didn't help him in any kind of way. As a matter of fact, they were so jealous and envious and hateful of us, right? They helped our enemies to destroy us.
On every occasion they could.
They rejoiced when we were destroyed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So in their hearts, it's like, why is the Most High acting for them and he's not acting for us like he asked of them? That's the mindset they got, because they plotted to destroy us. They mocking us. Oh, yeah, just like the other nations. Why did y'all choose y'all?
Right.
What's the difference?
Right.
That's the mock. Y'all supposed to be so special, so set apart, everlasting covenant, but y'all ain't nothing but just like the other nations. And guess what? We proved ourselves to be just like the other nations, our ancient fathers.
Exactly.
So they were able to mock our ancient fathers, unfortunately, because they acted like the other nations. You sacrificing your children in Yah's house. That's why Moab and Ammon rejoiced when Jerusalem and Yah's sanctuary fell. But we don't understand. We don't understand our world situation. Because our cousins still exist. Most of them didn't wipe them out altogether.
No.
Our family still exists. And guess what? They still hate us because of the way we act. And we act worse than all the other nations. So they in their mind, like, we Ishmael, we pray to you three times a day. We don't do pornography, and we don't put our women butt naked on videotapes. But look at your people who you chose, Jacques. This is why they hate us so much.
Yeah, and you love them so much, they say. But that's the Most High's choice, Godrill. And they had a choice in the matter, how they conducted themselves with us. They could have helped shore us up, helped facilitate us. But they chose up. They chose every opportunity they could, going against allies, going against us themselves, and so on and so forth. And then took glee in our downfall. So
and that gives us a crucial lesson there. Mm-hmm. We cannot take glee in the downfall of those who hate us.
Yeah,
right?
The Most High said that.
You can't take glee. Oh, no. You can't take glee because Esau is falling. Edom.
Right.
You cannot take glee because your brother Esau is falling. You cannot take glee because Moab and Ammon are falling.
No.
You can't take glee. No. You got to be humble. Right?
The Most High said
that's
that.
He
said, do not take glee against your enemies or I turn my wrath away from them. So, but we got a bad habit because we've been socially engineered and conditioned by universal white race supremacy. They take glee in this type of stuff. We're not supposed to take glee as country based upon the Most High. It's qualification. We're supposed to just take it as a matter of fact and keep it pushing and doing what we need to be doing. Not setting up to have a parade about it, just like they do have a parade upon another parade about things. We don't supposed to have that attitude. That's culture. Because we don't know anything about culture and our identity, we do just what our oppressors said. We emulate them instead of emulating ourselves. During the rock we were hewn from, or the dish we were dug from, or which they should have been in so many cases, and emulating their culture, our culture.
So humility and repentance is deeper than we know.
Exactly. It's the key. It's the key, Katriel. I mean, remember I told you I was a crash dummy? Crash dummies they are prideful lot. Can't tell them nothing. They got all the sense in the world, yet they don't know much about anything. And Yom Su was the very same way. So I know pride before a fall, pride come before a fall. Yom Su fell so many times, sometimes it just laid on the ground, okay? So you got to get rid of that pride. You got to examine yourself, and you got to seek solutions. And you got to examine society as a whole. And look at a lot of crash dummies like Yom Su. And what are they doing? What do they continue to do and expect different results? So Yom Su had to realize that there was something greater than him and rely on what was greater than him and find out who he was, what he was, and what he was about. Then I could see the world clearly. Yom Su was just like a whole lot of brothers and sisters out here, Cartrell. And that's why I understood what you were saying, even though it caused me some angst. When you said mourn for our brothers and sisters, if someone hadn't mourned for me, if even my daughter hadn't taken a liking to me, if you hadn't taken a liking to this show, if Abby I hadn't taken a liking to me in this show, would have boasted my confidence and the way I was going, where would I have been? So, yeah, you got to mourn for people. Because I ain't better than no one. But there again, I found out ain't nobody better than me. And Yah is better than all of us. So that's...
And that's why I love King David, right? Because he could have been proud of himself, couldn't he?
Exactly.
He said, I'm the man. He could have said, I'm the man that slew the giant Goliath, even when the king didn't step up. He could have rolled in that pride for the rest of his life. Because people continue to talk about King David and Goliath, right, to this day. And he could have rolled in that pride. But when you read the mindset of King David, oh, my gosh. Like, wow. You the guy that killed the giant? You crying to Yah every night? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's where you get your strength from?
Exactly.
And he trying to share that with the nation, our people. It ain't about what your feats, your accomplishments are, who gave you the power to do that? And he understood who gave him the power to do what he did. And he realized that he was a man full of faults. And he acknowledged his faults, his fallacies, and his flaws. That's what's beautiful about our king, King David.
And we have to care about people's soul, Katria. Lamb backing on what you said, because, you know, when I think, when I meditate on King David, and when Absalom was after him, and he was at the gate, and he found out Absalom was killed, and he cried like a baby, and his men had to tell, come on now, King, you want to get off? And these folks went out there for you. But I understood what he was crying for. And if you studied Most High, you would understand, he wasn't simply crying for the sake that Absalom was his son, and the things that Absalom did to him, the humiliation, taking his concubine, chasing his father, trying to kill him. But he cared about his son's soul, his son dying in his neck. That's what he cared, putting his hand on the Most High, anointed. See, we got to get past the superficial and understand it ain't about the people per se. Then I meditated on what you were saying, and I thought about King David and how he cried for Absalom. And it wasn't per se about the things Absalom did. It was about Absalom's soul, that he died in iniquity, and his soul couldn't be restored for the Most High's sake. And we have to have that sort of mindset when it comes to one another, because we are horrible people. Absalom, King, Prince Absalom, was horrible. And we are horrible. And Yom Suf, as an ex-dummy, can tell you, he was horrible. But you got to see beyond that. Right.
In that story of Prince Absalom, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
His brother raped his sister.
Exactly.
And King David didn't do anything about it.
Exactly.
And Prince Absalom was furious that his father didn't take steps to bring justice for his sister.
Exactly.
So King David was a man with flaws and fallacies.
Right.
But think about Moses' brother Aaron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mosai killed two of his sons in the process of anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? As much as King David cried for Absalom, Mosai told Aaron, you're not going to cry for your two sons you just lost right here.
Mm-hmm.
How hard was that?
Exactly.
How much did Aaron have to discipline himself not to cry for his two sons that he lost and he couldn't mourn for? That takes hard discipline. I don't care what you say. People talk about the anointing, Christ, Mashiach, HaMashiach, all they want. But the first man that went through that, he lost his two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't cry for them. What kind of moment is that?
That was a moment. That was a moment, a defining moment.
You can't even describe that moment. You can't even describe that moment. You cannot even describe that moment.
Yeah. It was a defining moment. I'm going to tell you why I said it was a defining. I couldn't describe it. But it was a defining moment in his relationship with the Most High. Because this is the same Aaron, high priest Aaron, before high priest, was the same when Moses was up in the mountain getting the instructions, the codification, that people were down, our brothers and sisters down there, making him build them a golden calf, which he complied with. The same man. So it was a defining moment in his relationship with the Most High. So, and that goes to show you, Cartrell, we don't know what's in the heart and minds of men and women. So it showed you that he was a man of character. He became a man of character through the Most High, obviously. As I said, it was a defining moment of his character. He was down there doing his thing with the people, and Moses had to get upset about it. But then when the moment came for him to step up to the plate, step up to the gap, the moment where he couldn't cry for his babies that he probably knew, he knew them as little babies, then little boys, and now you can't even cry. It's a defining moment in one's character. And we all have defining moments in our character when we step up to the plate of the Most High, and we keep doing what we're doing, expecting different results. And again, when you said, when you said about Prince Absalom, here's the part that struck me with what you said. Prince Absalom, King David, had to ask himself, what part did he play in the rebellion of his son? And that's why it caused him that much grief.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was worried about his son's soul. Because he understood, if I only did what I should have did, my son wouldn't have perhaps rebelled against me. Now his soul is at stake. And I love my son so much that I'm sitting in front of my men who saved me crying like a baby, and they upset over me. So we got to always ask ourselves, Cartrell, when we try to judge other people's action and case, because you don't know what's in the heart and minds. I mean, I don't try to tell what's in their heart and mind, because I don't know. I just ask myself, what part did I play? So you got to always ask yourself, what part did I play? Go ahead, Cartrell.
So Joab tried to bring justice by killing King David's son, Prince Absalom.
Right.
Did he bring justice?
No.
He just rubbed on sorrow. Only Yah can bring justice to our people. And that's the lesson that we have to learn by understanding our history. And the fact that Aaron lost two of his sons, our people don't think that Aaron had to pay the price for building that golden calf. But guess what? You lose two of your sons and don't think you had to pay a price for what you did.
Exactly. I didn't think you were going to pick up on the Cartrell, but I knew you were a smart man. I knew you loved the Most High, and he's going to direct and order yourself. And I know you picked up on it. I know Sister Abby, I picked up on it. I believe even our daughter picked up on it. You got to pay the price.
Moses didn't lose two of his sons. His brother Aaron lost two of his sons. Why? Why? What was the problem? Oh, okay.
And you, Cartrell, you could be assured of fact. That being a defining moment, High Priest Aaron reflected upon his life and asked himself, what part did I play? What part did I play?
Not only did he lose two of his sons, he couldn't even mourn for them. How about that?
That's pretty.
You're not going to funeral. You're not going to cry for them. You have to continue to process. That I command you, says Yah. Okay, play around with Yah if you want to.
You better believe it. So let's continue, Cartrell, Imar Doran, and Sister Abia. Let's see what our brother did to our twin brother. He wasn't a twin. Yes, he was a twin. Yaqub and Esau. Let's see what our brother did for us. Proclamation against Edom, Esau. Thus said Yah, Elohim. Because what Edom did against the house of Yehuda by taking vengeance has greatly offended, and they've been vengeful for us from the beginning of Yaqub. They were resentful of Yaqub getting the heritage, but he sold his birthright. What part did he play? Yaqub didn't give it, take it from him. He sold his birthright. Still holding his animosity against this nation because of his relationship with Yaqub, and he sold his own birthright, okay? So if anyone to blame, he's got himself to blame in that. But he can't do a self-examination. He just want to blame it on Yaqub, this nation. And they still got this vengeance and hatefulness against us. And as
great and Yaqub.
Yes.
Who's in control of the media?
Esau.
Who controls the record industry?
Esau.
Who controls the movie industry?
Esau.
Who controls the news media?
Esau.
And how do they portray their brother, Jacob?
Niggas. Niggas. Good for nothing. Ain't gonna never be nothing and don't want nothing.
But so that hatred is still there, isn't it? That hatred for us, that vengeance, revenge for what our father Jacob and Esau went through, it's still there. They're at war with us.
If you don't know it, you're totally confused about everything. Because, as a matter of fact, they've incorporated into universal right race supremacy, iron and clay, the fourth kingdom. See, people, if they don't study, they don't understand nothing. Esau is incorporated into universal right race supremacy. It's an outpost of universal right race supremacy in the land right now. They gave nuclear weapons to defend themselves. They control it. As a matter of fact, the Russians are over there in Sudan stealing their gold. Okay? The war in Ukraine, universal white race supremacy. And people get offensive when I say that. But I'm not lying on the fourth kingdom, this daughter of Babylon.
And so, we're focused on our brother Esau.
Right.
And he is out for our souls.
Exactly.
He sold his birthright, but he's trying to make us sell our souls through control of the media, through control of whatever control they got. And they got mad control because they dwell in the fat place of the earth. And they have compromised us. We ain't selling our birthright for a pot of soup, but we're selling our souls to Hollywood, to politics, and everything they're in control of.
Well, you remember Cartrell and Imar Dora and Sister Avia, when music was so much more constructive and positive than what it is. Now it's all shake, shake, shake it. Baby, don't you break it. Let me get your best friend and I'll take your dog in the pink toot, toot, toot.
And our brother Esau is shrewd enough to know that there's a message in our music. And who controls the music industry?
Yep.
No, they control. Esau controls the music industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
and
was
all
saying.
These brothers,
they do.
Huh?
They do. Yeah. And that's why they're not going to put anything constructive or positive out in our community. They're not going to pay money for that to talk about love your nation, love your family, love your wife, love your children. It's about sex, sex, sex. Any denigration or any perversion that they can sing about.
So let's go back to the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, when our people were creators of the music. When you listen to that music, it wasn't about that at all, was it?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right. So they realized, these people have power in their music, and we have to dictate which way the music goes. So now it's about shake, 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 expose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I got mine, you get yours. No, that's not what we used to sing about. Not at all. No. We didn't sing about that at all.
Not at all, Katria. Not at all, sadly to say. We have become so compromised with Esau and these nations.
We sold our souls.
Yes. Yep. So compromised.
The money. Dead white men are on a piece of paper. Dead white men. Benjamin Franklin. George Washington. Dead white men on paper. You sell your soul.
And that's sad. Sad statement of affairs, Katria. Let's find out, Katria, Imar Dora, what the Most High says more about our brother. You are therefore offended by avenging itself on them. Therefore, thus said Yah Elohim, I will stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Timon, and Dedan shall fall by the sword. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand, by how he's going to do that. How he's going to lay vengeance on Edom? By the hand of my people, Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger, which they hadn't done yet, but it's coming, and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says Yah Elohim. Yah said he going to use his people against Edom. Yah said he going to use us against Edom by their hands. So Edom got one to come. He just don't know it yet. Well, maybe they know. Yeah, they come on now. Stop it, Yom Suf. Yeah, they know it. That's why they try to Adonis keep in charge. That's why they try to Adonis to keep us compromising ourselves and selling our souls instead of our birthright, selling our souls. Edom has the philosophy of Donald Trump, the Scorched Earth program. I'm going to burn it all down. Ain't nobody going to have nothing. Edom has the same mindset, just like Donald Trump. Go ahead, Katrina.
They already got a shield put up. You know what the shield is?
What's that, my brother?
Anti-Semitism, whatever that is. Anti-Semitism.
What is that?
That's a shield for them. But y'all already let us know what. Jacob's going to get revenge on his brother Esau for all that Esau has been.
Yeah, because
and
Jacob,
you can throw anti-Semitism up there if you want, but that has no meaning whatsoever based on what y'all are saying. I'm going to use my people to get back at their big brother. And we've been fighting from the womb. You mentioned it. The time when we was in Rebecca's womb, Esau and Jacob were battling. And she had to go to y'all, like, what's going on up in here? And y'all had to tell her, there's two nations and two peoples within your womb, mama. How many women does y'all say that to? There's two nations and two peoples within your womb. And we've been fighting our brother Esau even before he was born, up until today, because he really tries to make us look very bad in the eyes of all the nations. Well, what did y'all say? Your brother, little Jacob, he's going to get vengeance on you. My vengeance is going to come through him on you. And that's what they fear. So they say anti-Semitism. No. You anti-Shemite, Ak. You anti-Shemite.
Yep. Well, you can't claim what you ain't, Carsrael, so you make up something. In Philistia, Yah says, thank you, Carsrael, thus said Yah Elohim, because the Philistines, man, they were a thorn in our side, wasn't they?
King David smashed them in the head. That's what they got. They just in their heart.
They eventually and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred. They had an old, just like our brothers do, just like our cousin, an old hatred. And that's why y'all don't understand, just like the brothers don't understand, Cottrell, and the top situation where his 80-year-old mother was killed. That's why you need to study the rock you were hewn from, the ditch you were dug from. Then you wouldn't be on national news asking asinine questions. Why y'all don't love it? We just try to get along with y'all. You would know, and you wouldn't have to ask that rhetorical question. Why? Because you know. You know why Esau don't love you. You know why Philistia don't love you. You know why Amnon and Moab, and you know why Universal White Race Primitive will never love you. You've been doing this 402 years of counting, lying to yourself and one another. You're going to love me. Well, I don't think that worked out for dream girls, and you're dreaming if you think it's going to work out for you, okay? None.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
We have had people who have hated us way before universal white racist supremacy came on the scene.
Right.
And they just magnify it more than anybody. Right?
Exactly. Yep.
We got ancient enemies. Esau, Moab, Ammon, Ishmael, the Philistines. These people actually hate us. But we walking around talking about we want to love the world. Being oblivious.
I'm not laughing at us per se. I'm just laughing at the insanity that we try to perceive because of our lack of understanding of the Most High. Lack of understanding.
No. You gave the example, the brother. No, we don't love y'all. We don't deal with y'all. Ask the bus. We voted. And you killed my mother.
Right.
These people hate us. They don't give a damn how many tears you shed, nigga.
Yep.
They'll tear you apart between two horses in front of your family and rape your wife. That's how much they love you.
And rape you too, okay?
Oh, yeah. So oh, yeah. That too.
Yeah, where is the love?
That too.
But, where is the love?
But trust me.
Yeah.
Like me, when I was searching for love when I was 14,
right.
Where's love coming from in the universe? The only love we're going to get as a people, as a nation, is from Yah. These nations don't love us. They hate us. And the more they can magnify our frailties, our faults, our fallacies, they're asking themselves the question, why did Yah choose these people
over anybody? And Ema, they need to get with Ema. They need to get with this nation and cry to the Most High so they can find some real love. Because we've been looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong places. And we ain't found it yet. So you need to get with Ema next year and us and cry together and find some real love. Somebody to really care about you. And we need to learn how to care about one another. Because ain't nobody going to love us. And we need to learn to love each other. because we all we got, the Most High in us. And we need to guide that nonsense, the Almighty Dollar. Because ain't nothing mighty about the Almighty Dollar. It's true.
And so that's the major lesson.
Yep.
That's the major lesson before you conclude.
Exactly. Okay.
Because you can't front to the Most High like you love him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing twisted with Yah's people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with Yah like you have to deal with Yah's people. You have to be a man of your word, a woman of your word. You have to be a person of integrity, both with Yah and with your people. You can't be one way with Yah and another way with your people, which is what our people do.
Well, Contreras, you said this several days ago, I believe. Your love for the Most High is reflected in your relationship with his people, okay? And that's how you reflect the Most High, by your reflection. You mirror your love for the Most High and his people and the way you treat his people, okay?
And I'm glad you said that because, yes, we've read the book of Ezekiel, right?
Exactly.
All this time, y'all laying out our rap sheet, how evil our ancient fathers were. Right? There's no mistake about that, right? But now, all the nations that surrounded us, no, you're not going to get away with nothing. I'm focused on my people, but I'm focused on you too. Ishmael, Moab, Ammon, Edom. Yah's focus is on every nation, not just us. So, all these nations out here looking at us, pointing fingers, saying, aha, rejoicing, dancing, partying, because our demise, guess whose demise is coming next?
Yeah.
Every nation that put their hand on us, they paid the price. Moab, Ammon, Philistines ain't around no more, are they?
Exactly.
And the Most High didn't put judgment on Babylon until a certain time. Because he used Babylon as his instrument of judgment. Right? And the ancient Babylonians were our ancient fathers. That's where Abraham came from, Chaldeans, Babylon.
Right. Praise God. So I'm going to conclude it and hand it off. And I'll let Imar Dura and Sister Aviat make some commentaries if they want. If not, this is family night. That's why we are family oriented. We started off with family. And we're going to end up with family. We're going to get praise and glory to the Most High. Actually, I present that song. We're going to keep it moving. Because y'all need all the understanding the education about the Most High as you can get, and we're going to provide it for you. The Most High says in regards to Philistia, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Sherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Elohim when I lay my vengeance upon them. And surely they knew at the end that he is the Most High. And he ain't nothing to play with, putting his hand on his people, laughing and joying, he and haw-haw about his people. They got theirs in there. Certainly everyone, every nation, even as we speak, who are still putting their hand on us, he who has the first laugh won't laugh last. Praise the Most High and bless his whole name. Imam Dora Cottrell, so Savia, you have the mics. May the Most High bless you.
Praise Yah. I just think that the nation Esau, Yah destroyed that nation. But the spirit of Esau is dwelling in the midst of a people that is not a people today. And they're the ones that's got reign over us. Yah does what he has always done, if we are mindful of it. He will use other nations to chastise Israel. And then, after they get through doing their dirty job, the Almighty turn around and chastise them for chastising Israel, you see. So, you know, and these ancient nations, as Moray said, they've always hated us. But it goes further back than that. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. And that ancient age hatred is still going on today. And when you really think about it, and with, you know, that it appears to be that spirit is against the continent of Africa, period, because of the people, the land. Look what's happening in the land. As you mentioned earlier, Russia's over there gobbling up the Congo's gold now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and isn't that what was told to Hezekiah when all the mercenaries came to see him? And the prophet told King Hezekiah that, hey, all that you've got, it's no longer going to be, because they're going to carry it all away. And that's what they've done to Africa. Africa's the richest continent on earth, and yet the people live like less than humans. Why is that? Everybody else is doing a number with her wealth. But she can't even seem to hold her head up because of the hunger that's existing within her. And we are part of that continent. And I think for me, and I'm just saying, that's why it's imperative that Israel is the king of that land, and Israel has to get it together. Because that they call it the motherland, but it's the father that's dominating, and the fatherland, our father's land, has got to get it together. That's why Africa's waiting for her king to come. Mm-hmm. And the more you begin to think about it, hey, everything just falls in place, you know. And when we speak about Israel, I mourn, but Israel, again, is a nation. It's my nation, your nation, our nation, but we're one nation in the eyes of Yah. You see, it's not just mine to be mourning for Yah. We all should be mourning. We should not even be able to keep our heads up because of the pain that we see concerning our people. So that's pretty much where, and I think Moray did an excellent job while you were reading as far as explaining what was going on, and it's still going on today. You know, these Arab men, they got all kind of wealth. Why is Israel? Why is Israel in the condition she's in? We should be, we're over here fighting over crumbs, killing each other, drugs, and killing people. You know, all the wickedness that's killing us, we're embracing that and killing ourselves over it. But the Almighty's beginning to reveal untold wealth in on the continent of Africa. Why are we over there negotiating with our people there to take control over the wealth that Yah has given us and put these other heathen nations out of our land?
Because it's not the gold, how much gold they're finding, that's going to save humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity is corrupt. Humanity has a lot of blood on their hands. And you have to answer for that. Yah's judgment is coming into the earth because of the blood in the earth that's crying out. No matter how much gold you got, no matter who you worshiping, the final judgment is coming. It's an appointed time. And all mankind should prepare themselves, brace themselves, have understanding that this final judgment is coming. These nations don't have to pay for the evil that they've done throughout the earth. And yeah, y'all finding gold, but the earth has not yielded its strength. When the Most High blesses the earth for the earth to yield its strength, you're going to see wonders that you've never seen before. Y'all are going to pour his spirit out on the righteous. And he's not doing that now because the earth is full of corruption.
Well, I see what y'all, I see the hand of y'all as it is spoken, because it has been prophesied that these wicked nations was going to rule for a certain time period. And I'm telling you, if I'm not mistaken, I read a scripture one time where it said he was going to use people more wicked than us to put over us. And they have, when you think about it, these people are, I mean, wickedness abounds. And it looks like the humility, the humble people, they're the ones that are suffering the most. You see? So it's got to be a reason for all of that. And I'm saying we're not talking about what we, hypocrisy. We're talking about a reality. You know, these little nations they're striving just to stay alive. But the wickedness is in the, you see the wealthy, the more they have, the more they want. And they don't care who suffers behind it. You know, I was looking at a video the other day, Mark Wahlberg, the actor's house, $86 million. Who needs 18 bathrooms? 26 bedrooms. 3
Jacob.
Kitchens.
Jacob.
you think about, well, the Almighty is bringing it all to a head, because they were showing today the Kentucky, and whole towns have been wiped out. Here in Missouri, they've got cities. This has never happened before. You know, no flooding because of the rivers, but because of the amount of rain that fell.
And more rain coming.
And people were saying, now, what are we going to do? We don't have nowhere to go. We lost everything. What are we going to do? And that's just the suffering that's on the horizon. And, you know, I heard earlier someone saying, where you and Young Sue were saying that they hate us and they want to know, why did y'all choose us? I remember when my sister was in the hospital, and this very, very nice, and he was telling us all about Jesus. And I told him, we don't do Jesus. That's not our God. And he turned around and he says, you don't serve Jesus? He said, no. He said, do you mind telling me why not? So I told him, since we're Israel and we only could serve one God, and that's the great I am. I says, and, you know, for the longest we thought that we were hated because everyone knows who we are but ourselves. And I says, and then we come to find out we're hated because they know that we're the children of the covenant. We're the people of the book. And he turned around ever so slowly and he said, no, that's not why you're hated. So I said, it's not. Then why are we hated? He says, because he chose you and didn't choose us. Yeah. And then his voice returned back to normal and he continued to do what he was doing. So you're absolutely right.
And y'all calls them a no people.
Uh-huh.
So no way, no why, no how y'all gonna choose them. over Israel. We have more talent, more gifts, more skills. We're less disease. We're stronger. We're more spiritual. We have more integrity than our enemies.
Yes. Only if Israel knows that.
They don't understand that. Israel wanted to forgive everybody. But Israel understand we got enemies that's out there that are trying to take our soul.
Israel want to forgive everybody, but don't nobody want to forgive Israel.
And we don't want to forgive ourselves. If I step on your toe, nigga, I'm going to shoot you. What? You forgive everybody else, but you want to shoot me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true.
But guess what? Y'all got a better future for us. We're not going to always be in this conundrum. Most I said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on my people because I love them so much. Your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to prophesy. We have forever. We have to choose forever. Y'all said, I put life and death before you. Choose life and live. King David said, I will dwell in your house forever, Yah, and I will praise your holy name. That's where we want to be. We want Yah's salvation. We want Yah's refuge. We want to get past Yah's judgment. We want to get past Yah's anger and fury, his outstretched arm and his fury poured out. We want to touch into loving kindness and tender mercy and our inheritance. He's our inheritance, and we are his inheritance. We're not selling it for nothing. So the love he gives us, we got to give back. You love us that much, Yah? You call us whores, prostitutes, adulterers, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet you're willing to take us back. We have to give the love that Yah gives us back to him, because that's the only love we really got in the earth. That's what I come to find out from 14 years old. Yah ain't no love of the earth. Yah, so I got love for you, and I'm going to show you. Yah loves his people. He don't just love me. He loves his people. That's why we're still alone.
But do his people love him?
That's the thing. Got to give it back. Got to give it back. Do you give it back? Do you love Yah as much as he loves us? That's the question.
You know, again, it's impossible to say that you love Yah, and yet you can't feel the pain of his people. It's impossible to say that. You see. And as I was on social media earlier and saying, our lips, we can make our mouths say anything. We can speak ever so passionate. But you know what? Our lips lie quickly. We don't care. We care less than a good whatever words that we speak concerning our God. We can vow 1 minute, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And, hey, I swear by the name of Yahuwah, and 10 minutes later, you don't want to get just opposite. Huh? So
and that's the thing about Yah, Ima. Yah gets his word, right?
Yeah.
Yah's word is true. But the thing we don't know about Yah and don't understand about Yah, that he's emotional. Right? He said, I'm jealous. He said, I love you. He says, I hate evil. All those things are emotion, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we've broken Yah's heart, that's a tremendous thing. How do you break the Creator who is from everlasting to everlasting? How do we as a people love his, break his heart? Which shows how much love he has for us. And the fact that he's willing to take us back after all the dirty deeds we have done. We don't deserve it. And the nations know we don't deserve it. How are you going to forgive them, Yah, after all the things that they've done to you? Just as the nations are saying, Moab, Ammon, Ishmael, Edom, they're saying this about us. These nations are saying this about us. And through that, Yah still loves us. Like, I don't care what these nations are saying. My love is for the children of Jacob. And that's incredible. Because he didn't forgive Eve. He didn't forgive Adam. as soon as Eve and Adam broke his command, boom, judgment came down swift. Judgment came down swift. He didn't give them a chance. He didn't show them loving kindness and mercy. No, judgment immediately. And we've done worse than Adam and Eve, although we point our finger at them.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because Almighty says in Isaiah that he gave nations, he gave men for our lives, people for our lives, you know.
Do we deserve it? Do we deserve it?
No, because no. The new book come along, the new book comes along and tells you just the opposite. That it tells you to love your enemy and love those who despitefully misuse you and oppress you. Huh?
Did y'all say that?
No, but this is what the point I'm trying to make, Murray. Yeah. It tells us to turn the other cheek. On one hand, God is offering us love. We turn our back to him. The other one is telling us to love our enemy. We run head on to that, okay?
And give them both cheeks.
But in the process, the book is showing that it's all a lie, because it ain't turning the other cheek to you, O House of Israel. You filling up his penitentiary. You keep the morticians around the clock. They're working around the clock, okay? Because of the hate that you have towards yourself and the hate that others have against you. So,
and
your God.
They can do that, Uma, because we don't know our history. Did Joshua turn the other cheek? Did Shimshon turn the other cheek? Did King David turn the other cheek against the enemy?
No.
Our forefathers did not turn the cheek. Our father Abraham did not turn the cheek. Not at all. And where that doctrine came from is the doctrine of suicide. Yeah.
You know, and this is another way how we still continue to walk contrary to our God. We will lay out scripture after scripture, go through it word for word, letter for letter. Okay, and then after you get through doing all of that, given all type of scenarios as to, you know, how one can really begin to understand what's being said, and you ask your people, do you have any questions? Do you have any comments? Mom is the answer. They have no questions. They comment nothing. But the minute they walk away from you, they got a whole mouthful of negative things. That nigga shows that you suck.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't believing what that nigga talking about.
And the thing you're seeing today in 2022, Ema, don't even compare it to what our ancient fathers were doing. You mean you sacrificing your children in the sanctuary, the temple that King Solomon built for Yah, the God of our ancient fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? These are the things that our ancient fathers were doing, Ema. And we ain't even scratching the surface. We're not even scratching the surface of the things that infuriated Yah with our ancient fathers.
But you know what, Moray? The ancient fathers are dead and gone. I'm concerned with what's going on today. Our ancient fathers,
yeah.
The reason why they did what they did, we're in this condition today. And we, as the word, if I'm to believe the word says we have done worse than our fathers. That's the word of Yah.
And there's going to be some
worse than your dad. You see?
And that's true. That's true. But there's going to be some Israel that take the antidote that is still there. We read the antidote every night. Yah gives us a solution. And guess what? There's going to be some Israelites that take the solution, that take the antidote, and there's going to be other Israelites that, guess what? Unfortunately, they do not. They feel power in their wickedness and their evil ways. But Yah laid it out clear in his word. There's no two ways about it, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yah has given us the antidote and the solution. And if you're seeking him, you will find the antidote. And if you're taking the antidote, you may have a chance to be written in the book of life. Because that's the aim. That's the goal. Is your name written in the book of life? Based on your works? And if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. You can talk to the people, Israel, just like Ezekiel, the prophet. It's like Jeremiah, the prophet. Just like Moshe, the prophet. It's like Isaiah, the prophet. Whether Israel listens or not, guess what? You've done your job as a watchman. You've taken the antidote. You want your name written in the book of life. Outside of that, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And your work, oh, it's going to count in the balance of the judgment. So we all have the opportunity as a nation of Israel to hear and to comply with Yah's commands. Those who don't, my heart is broken for you. If you do, my heart rejoices. Praise Yah.
All right. Kadra, Imadora. Kadra, do you think you, praise Yah, do you think you have enough time to present your songs, this next lesson? If not, you okay, all right. Okay. We're all ears, my brother.
It's a short song, and I think we ended all the songs of King David. That's what they say. But we end the songs of Asaph. And I'm still trying to make the connection between Asaph's fables and just Asaph in the prom in the Psalms. Both names are Hebrew, Asaph. That's not an English or European name. Mm-hmm. And when we were young, we used to read Asaph's fables. And it was always a moral to the story. So I think he was one of Elijah's fathers that they don't get credit for. But this song is a psalm of Asaph, a wise man, a man who sought after Yah. All praise, honor, and glory to our ancient fathers who had songs and melodies in their hearts. And these songs that they sang were for our Creator. Unfortunately, today, in today's music industry, our hearts have been turned aside, and we don't praise Yah like we should. So we give thanks for these songs that are everlasting, that are recorded in the annals of history, the Book of Psalms. Chapter 73, ascribed to the songstress Asaph. Surely Yah is good to Israel. Give praise to Yah, he's good to Israel. Because no matter what we do, Yah is always going to be good to Yisrael. That's why we're alive today, giving praise, honor, and thanks to him right now. To those who are pure in heart. And that's what Yah is looking for, the pure in heart. How pure in heart are we? You could talk all the talk you want to talk, but Yah knows your heart. I can't tell where your heart is at. You sound good. You sound good to me. But where's your heart? I can tell by your action where your heart is really at. So Asa says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps nearly have slipped. In this life, yes, your feet may slip. Yeah. So much wickedness, so much turmoil, so much trouble in the world. Your foot may slip, especially if you haven't found Yah. For I was envious of the arrogant. And when you're growing up, you see gangsters making money, driving around in Cadillacs and taking advantage and abusing people. But they seem to be the ones that's on top. And you can't envy them. For I was envious of the arrogant. Yeah. European, white, racist supremacy, they're super arrogant, and they're on top. They got everything. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and that's what we witness now, the prosperity of universal white racist supremacy, they're on top. For there are no struggles in their death, but their strength is firm. For sure, that's what we see. They are free from burdens of men. Yeah, why is Donald Trump getting away with all these crimes? I'm sure it was Barack Obama. They would have had him in jail by now and threw away the key. Just like Bill Cosby. It says, neither are they plagued like other men. Why isn't Donald Trump plagued like other men? Therefore, pride is like a chain around their neck. Yeah, they're so arrogant. They're so proud. We're above the law. We can do what we want. Violence covered them like a garment. And that's what Donald Trump was advocating for, to overthrow the American government. Yet, I call that treason. You stopping the process of a legal, what we call constitutional transfer of power, and you use violence to try to stop it, and you're not in jail? Oh, yo, because you're prideful. You're the Teflon Don. Therefore, pride is like a chain around their neck. Violence covered them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with that. Their minds pass the limits of conceit. We hate conceited people. Because conceited people, they only think about themselves. They scoff and speak with malice. And that's what we see with universal white racist supremacy. We know that y'all gonna judge them. In arrogance, they threaten oppression. Are we oppressed? Raise your hand if you're oppressed. You know you're oppressed? Trust me, brother. You're oppressed. They have set their mouths in the heavens. Yeah. Their tongue walks through the earth. And we know who that is. Therefore, their people, we turn to them, and they drink up waters of abundance. Yes, they do. That's why we are on the bottom, and they are on the top. They say, how does God know? They don't know God. They don't know the Most High. They're looking for Yah and a Hadron Collider, the God particle. They don't really know Yah. The Pope and his minions, they pedophiles. They sleep with little boys. They don't sleep with women. They're not like the priests of the house of Aaron who had to have sons and daughters. The sons of Aaron, which means they had to have wives and children. The priests in the Catholic Church, they don't know Yah. They say, how does God know? Is there knowledge of the Most High? No. They're looking into telescopes and all kinds of vehicles to try to find the beginning of the heavens. Behold, these are the wicked. If you don't know who the wicked are, you better wake up. Being always at ease, and who's at ease right now? They increase riches. How rich is the Roman Catholic Church? Are they worried about inflation? Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and punished every morning. That's the plight of the righteous. You're trying to clean your heart and you think it's in vain. You wash your hands in innocence. You ain't kill nobody. You ain't shed nobody's blood. All day long I've been plagued. So your heart is clean. You ain't shed no blood. Why are you plagued every day? Because of oppression and punished every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I tried to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I entered Yah's sanctuary and considered the latter end. Surely you set them in slippery places. Who's in slippery places? The arrogant, the wicked, the people that are at ease in the increase of their riches, the people who drink up waters in their abundance. They're at ease. If I said, I would speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I tried to understand this, it was too painful for me until I entered the sanctuary of Yah. Conscious understanding and consider the latter end. Don't be jealous or envious of the power that the wicked have. Don't be envious or jealous that they don't receive justice. Because at the end, you got to consider it. Surely you set them in a slippery place. Yes, these nations, universal white racist supremacy, have to know that, yes, judgment is coming. You throw them down to destruction. What's going to happen to them? The Most High is going to throw them down to destruction. How they are suddenly destroyed. It's not going to be a slow process. It's going to be sudden. They are completely swept away with terrorists. And if you don't know, the United States of America is the most terrorist nation on earth. You got the nuclear bombs to blow the planet up several times. You're standing, living, sleeping on a nuclear bomb when you live in America. As a dream, when one wakes up, so yeah, when you awake, you will despise their fantasies. Yeah, they want to go to Mars. They want to go to Venus. They want to star travel. No, they're not going to go that far. For my soul was grieved. I was embittered in my heart. I was so senseless and ignorant. And that's where our people are at right now. Senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. And that's the nation of Israel. We're senseless, we're ignorant, and we're a brute beast before Yah. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. Yah is always with us. You have held my right hand. That's why we have survived 400 years of brutality here in America. Nevertheless, I am continuing with you. You have held my right hand, and Yah has held the right hand of the nation of Israel. You will guide me with your counsel. Yes, Yah will guide this nation in all our oppression, in all our misery, in all our curse. Yah is going to give us counsel, and afterward, receive me to glory, because it's going to be Yah's glory, and we all receive. Who do we have in heaven? There is no one on earth who I desire besides you. And that should be the motto of our people. We ain't desiring democracy, communism, fascism, socialism. We're desiring Yah. My flesh and my heart fail. But Yah is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Because if it was for our heart and our flesh here in America, we would have been destroyed. But if not for the love of Yah, we wouldn't have made it, because we have a people who hate us. They hung us from trees, calling it a picnic, tied us between horses, tarred and feathered us. These are people that hate us to this day. But behold, those who are far from you shall perish. I'm going to read that again. All who are far from Yah shall perish. So you better not be following the nations, idols, doctrines, religions, because that's going to take you far away from Yah. In order for you to get close to Yah, you have to seek Yah. When you seek Yah, you will find him. But what does he say? For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. People holding on to their idols, their doctrines, their religions, they're going to perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. Are you faithful to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in your words, deeds, and actions? And that's not a slight question. I'm not asking the question. Yah's asking the question. The question is, for behold, for those who are far from you shall perish. And Yah gives us that choice. Choose life and live, death and die. Are you faithful to Yah? Because he's left his word on record. We're reading about our history in the book of Zedekiah, who had the word of Yah in their midst, more than we have right now. Yah's word has survived thousands of years, and we have to make a choice. Same choice our forefathers made. Are you for Yah? Are you against him? Are you faithful to Yah or not? But it is good for me to come close to Yah. And King David tells you how to get close to Yah. King Solomon tells you how to get close to Yah. Yah separates your actions and your deeds from him. If you're not righteous, if you're not humble, if you're not meek, if you're not repentant, if you're not contrite, you can't get close to Yah. You come try to get close to Yah with a deceptive heart, you're not getting there. The only way to get close to Yah is through wisdom, through contrition, through acknowledgement of your sins. Same path as King David. That's why he was so close to Yah. I have made Yah my refuge. There it is. Path of King David. How do you make Yah your refuge? You got to be faithful to Yah. You got to be truthful to Yah. You have to have a pure heart to be in that place of refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So important. If Yah is a refuge, you have to acknowledge Yah's works. You have to declare them. Praise Yah, we have the Real Talk for Real People show. And I don't know how many people we're reaching in this broadcast, but I'm sure King David reached many more people than we did when he was speaking out to our people. But to the few, to the many that we reach, all praise to the Most High. And may he increase the understanding and wisdom and the insight to his message. Not the message, but Yah's message. Because we all have to get close to Yah. Because Yah has to be our refuge. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Sister Abby.
Oh, all praise.
Sister Abby, any praise to the Most High?
Yeah, you know it is. All praises and glory to the Holy One of Israel, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am so grateful and thankful for each and every day that he gives us to come back together so I can learn, and I hope everybody else gets the message. I'm so grateful that he has keeps showing us his love, his mercy, and his, with his people, giving us another chance. I pray that people wake up and come together, call out to Yah, repent, and he will solve all your problems. And while I'm at that, I'm asking my sisters and brothers out here, please say a prayer for my great-grandchild. That went to the doctor, and they're sending her for tests, thinking that she might have sickle cell. And she's only 7 months. So keep her in your prayers. And I thank y'all for even giving us this night. So shalom, family. Good night.
Thank you. Sister Abia, any praise and thanksgiving? No, Imadora, I'm sorry. Any praise and thanksgiving to the Most High?
Oh, I can't stop praising him. Mm-hmm. It's for, a praise is forever on my lips, and crying and out in tears is forever in my heart on behalf of our people. So, and I thank the Almighty for the likes of yourselves that are faithful in bringing forth his word, because as it is stated in the book of Deuteronomy, he's our fountain and Yirmiyahu. He is our fountain of living water. And without Yah, there's no hope for us. So Israel, know that you are the apple of the Creator's eye, the Most High God, and he's worthy to go of all of these other deities. Stop selling your or giving your birthright. You don't even sell it. You give your birthright away to an idol. Take your birthright back. Stand in your royal heritage. Be able to shout to the world that Yahuwah is our power, our Elohim, worthy to be praised. And let the world know how we love our God. And how do we do that? By obeying him. Letting the world know that we're not ashamed of him. We don't have to worship and serve him behind locked doors with our knees knocking. Huh? Talking about hallelujah. The word says for us to be strong and of good character and fear not. Let us step outside of our zone of fear. Let us step into our arena of power. by standing on the word of our God, exalting him because his holy name, because he is truly worthy. And I, too, ask for a prayer for my son. My son is a fireman, and he came across a scene that did a lot of mental damage. And I'm asking that the Almighty restore him back to his rightful mind, giving him the strength to come through it all. And I ask for prayer for him. To the glory of your name, Yah, I say hallelujah. And much love to you, family, far or near. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to bless the Most High in his precious name for everything he is, everything that we hope him to be for the restoration of our souls. I'd like to ask the Most High for prayer for Imar Dora's son. I've been there for us. The mind is concerned. They restore his mind and help him to keep his mind. For Sister Abby's grandbaby, because you're a doctor above all doctors, and you have the answer above all doctrine is concerned. We don't have our Levitical priest to do the doctrine, but we do have our prayers to utilize to activate the plan for Imar Dora and Sister Abby's grandbaby. Bless and praise your holy name, and bless and praise those that came to, bless those that came to study with us, study your word, that they can apply your word to their lives. Thank you very much, Most High. Bless and praise your holy name. Oh, thank you for Cartrell, Imar Dora, and Sister Adia. May you bless them in their walk. May you make them humble. Make them dedicated servants. Allow them to depend on your word for every aspect of their lives. Bless and praise your holy name. We love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Y'all want to say shalom and good night to the people?
Shalom and good night.
All right. Well, we need
to. I'd like to take the opportunity to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, myself. And I pray we are the generation that repairs the breach, because you have acknowledged and given us understanding of what our fathers have done and what we've done to break your heart, to disappoint you, to dishonor your name. We pray that we are the generation that brings forth honor and praise to your name, that you would give glory and honor through us by being your servants, by humbling ourselves, by being contrite, and acknowledging what we have done and what our fathers have done, that you would lift your spirit and countenance upon us and get your glory through us. That's my prayer to you, Yah. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah.
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 Shalom and good night.
It was love that in the
it was love.
It was love. No love needed.
Never did I know him now. loved ones with another, from just romancing in the world and dancing with your girl. I knew we'd soon discover, we'd soon discover. My happiness just came with such surprise. The water just swelled up in my eyes. All I could see was your candid face, smiling all around the place. It was love.
It was love.
It was love. It was love. It was love. It was love. We needed love.
It was love.
I'm so proud of you. Do what you wanna do.
Love merry-go-round goes round and round. Love merry-go-round goes round and round. Love merry-go-round.
Romancing in the world, just dancing with your girl. You're my world. Romancing in the world, just dancing with your girl. You're my world.
Love merry go round, goes round and round. Love merry go round, goes round. Love merry go round.
Just dancing with your girl, you're my world. Romancing in the world. Just dancing with your girl, you're my world.